the whole Middle East, not just Israel. Israel was like a little forgotten province among the big rich nations of the Middle East. So of course there always comes a time in history when an evil ruler comes to power. You can be going along godly and good and everything's fine, and a man comes to power and your whole world is turned upside down and the laws begin to change and persecution rises up. And this is exactly what happened. Syria beat the Egyptians, and the Syrian Seleucid dynasty took over the Middle East and Israel. And for the first 30 years, they treated the Jews well. But then a man rose to power named, some pronounce it Antiochus IV, who called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, which means, I am Antiochus, the divine manifestation of God on earth. That's what he called himself. Do you get that Antichrist thing rising up in him? And unlike his father, the Seleucid ruler, and unlike the Ptolemy Egyptian rulers before him, he did not leave the Jews alone. And he would not tolerate anything that smacked of the worship of the God of Israel. And he began a systematic campaign of unbelievable cruelty against the Jews. And from this horrible thing, we get the Hanukkah story that Jesus celebrated, by the way, in the book, the Gospel of John. It's called the Feast of Dedication. Hanukkah means dedication. So Antiochus began to systematically, he burned every Torah scroll he could get his hands on in Israel. He began to command the Jews to take Greek names, stop circumcising their children, not keep the Sabbath, slaughter pigs on foreign altars that he set up in every town. Soldiers would watch the Jews kill the pig and say the prayers to Zeus. If they didn't say it, they were killed. If a woman circumcised her child secretly, she was crucified with her baby hung from her neck. It was a time of unbelievable torture and cruelty to the Jews. From that, we got a revolt called the Maccabees, and maybe you've heard the Hanukkah story. And I don't want to deeply go into the Hanukkah story now, but let's just say that God raised up a ragtag army of faithful, zealous, priestly Jews who, against all military odds, fought a 24-year of resistance against the cruel tyranny of Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus IV. And basically, they won. It's not as simple as we tell it in our happy little children's Hanukkah parties, you know? They tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. You know, it wasn't quite that simple. A lot of Jews died cruel, horrible deaths at the hands of these Syrian soldiers. And the Hanukkah story is full of martyrdom and full of incredible bravery that should make every one of us inspired to die for God and never deny Him. However, this is what I want to say, and Daniel wrote about this in the book of Daniel. See, Antiochus didn't just run around slaughtering everybody. He also ran around rewarding with great honor and riches all the Jews who apostatized against Moses. Remember I taught you the word apostasy last week? It's only used twice in the New Testament. The phone rings and I... the word apostasy, I taught you, means to defect from the truth, to fall away from God's law. Paul uses it in Thessalonians, where he says the day of the Lord will not come until the great apostasy comes, the great falling away. And it's used in Acts 21, where James says to Paul, the tens of thousands of Jews have believed in Jesus and are zealous for the law, and they think you're teaching that they should apostatize from Moses and not circumcise their children. And as we read last week, Paul shaves his head immediately and takes a Nazarite vow to prove in Acts 21 to prove to the Jews that he's not telling them to stop keeping the Sabbath and circumcising their children. But those are the two places where the word apostasy is used. But it's used in the book of 1 Maccabees too. Now, that's not in our Bibles now, but it was in the Septuagint, the book of Maccabees, and it was also in the Protestant Bible until 1825, when the American Bible Society, for whatever theological reasons, chose to take Maccabees out. But that tells that whole story of that period of the Jewish revolt against Antiochus, and how Antiochus finally died, which is a great relief to everyone. But anyway, okay, what was I saying? the word apostasy is used for all the many Jews who took Greek names, who they literally had surgery to not be circumcised anymore. Now, I'm obviously not going to describe, first of all, I'm not a surgeon. Second of all, it's very disgusting and unclean. But the point is, they were so anxious to be like the Greeks that they actually had a surgery, and Paul writes about it, and the book of Maccabees writes about it, to remove the marks of their circumcision. Let's just leave it at that. Because Antiochus built a gymnasium in Jerusalem where all the men wrestled naked. So if you were circumcised, you were singled out as a Jew and you couldn't wrestle. So they did something to make themselves look like the Greeks. And that's what they did. And they stopped circumcising their children and they stopped keeping the Sabbath and they all changed their names from like Chaim to Jason and Alexander and all these Greek names. You know, the women all changed their name to Helen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those names, please don't get me wrong, but if you're a Jew and you're deliberately apostatizing against the faith of your fathers and you're taking on Greek language, Greek culture, you're worshiping Greek gods, you were forced to eat pork on pain of death. You know, and forced to watch your Torah scroll have the broth of pigs poured over it and then set on fire. Like, you have to watch that. And you have to, you know, kill a pig and to Zeus. So Antiochus set up the abomination that causes desolation in the temple. He set up a statue of Zeus with his face on it. And he desecrated the temple. I think you know that story. And the Maccabees rededicated the temple 3 years later. And that's where we get the word Hanukkah. And the oil burned for 8 days. And you know, we won't go over that story. Now, how does all this apply to now? See how there's more history we could talk about, but it would take up the whole time. See, technology isn't good or evil. It's good and evil. Technology can be used for the propagation of the gospel or for the unification of the whole world under an antichrist spirit. Do you see how language, travel, innovations, inventions, technology, machines, knowledge exploding on the scene can be used for good or evil? The reason I went into all that Greek history, which I felt the Lord wanted me to, was to show you that the Greeks made the Jews assimilate. Long before Antiochus tortured and killed them, there was an insidious threat to Judaism, which was not at the point of a sword, but with the appeal of secular humanism and Greek worship. You see how you can be threatened by either persecution or seduction? There's two different ways Satan can wipe you out. Greek culture forced the Jews to learn the Greek language and not speak Hebrew, worship the Greek gods, eat the Greek unclean foods, keep the Greek holidays, you know, use the Greek currency. But good came out of that too, because we got the Septuagint from that. And when Paul went to the Gentiles, his way was paved for him by all that Greek stuff that had happened. God used it for great good, because they all spoke the same language. Now see, in the Tower of Babel, all speaking the same language was a big problem for God. He said, this is a false human unification of all speaking the same language and building a false tower for themselves. And I will scatter their language and ruin their unity, you know? But the unity of the Greek language was used for good because of the propagation of the gospel. It paved the way for all the early Jewish Christian missionaries, okay? But it also did a bad thing. It caused the Jews to turn away from God, so that when the evil Antichrist spirit in Antiochus rose up, there were already tens of thousands of Jews who already had Greek names and who already ate pork and who had already forsaken Moses. So when Antiochus said, here's your choice,